Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty well here this morning. How about you?
I'm doing great on this beautiful, fabulous, sunny day in Hampton, New Hampshire. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the flag as a symbol to represent something much greater than itself. Join and listen how to use a prayer flag to represent your concept of the divine. Swami will also explain why we want to use things visible and tangible to represent what is invisible and intangible. Life is a simple mind game between symbols and feelings. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. And join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the power of prana. So, Swami, what I thought we would first do today, since it is Flag Day celebrated in the United States for our own American flag, I thought I would just kind of do a little bit of information about that today. So we know that Flag Day is celebrated actually on June 14th. It commemorates the adoption of the flag of the United States, which actually happened on that same day back in 1777 by the resolution of the Second Continental Congress. And then later in 1916, President Woodrow Wilson issued a proclamation that officially established June 14th as Flag Day. And he did that back in August of 1949. National Flag Day was established by an act of Congress. But they did make notation on Wikipedia that is not an actually official holiday. But let's talk about what some of the symbolism of the American flag is. So I know we probably all did this back in grade school, but maybe we forgot some of these things. The colors of the pales, which are the vertical stripes, are those used in the flag of the United States of America. White signifies purity and innocence. Red signifies hardiness and valor. And blue is the color of the chief, which signifies vigilance, perseverance, and justice. And then, of course, the 50 stars on the flag represent the 50 states of the United States of America, and the 13 stripes represent the 13 British colonies that declared independence from the Kingdom of Great Britain, and those became the first states in the United States. So what can we, as Americans, and we use the flag as a symbol for a lot of things, like, you know, before every sporting event, you know, they raise the flag. And then, of course, we commemorate certain events by raising the flag full staff and half staff, half mast. And then we also have a certain particular way we have to fold the flag. And each fold has a certain meaning, too. So what is it that we should learn from that? And how do we carry that, those lessons, into our everyday life?
Well, I think the big thing is to recognize that the flag is a symbol, which is much greater than equal to something. And so it becomes like a category that you can start to stockpile information around. But again, one of the things that we said in the opening, that life is a very simple mind game. It's the association between symbols and feelings. And so flags are symbols. And the more we program ourselves to associate the flag with the feelings that are appropriate for that symbol, then, of course, it will produce the desired response at a given time.
Now, in my readings, you talking about the flag as a symbol, And I guess it is one of the most recognized flags in the world. So when people, other countries will use our flag as a symbol for the United States, because it is, like I said, is the most recognized. And then I guess you could also say that the flag could represent different things for different people. Like some people might, they might look at the American flag and it might represent patriotism. Or some people might look at the American flag and, you know, it might mean something completely different. So I guess what we talked about in the beginning is talking about symbols and feelings, how it could mean different things to different people.
Oh, you're 100% correct. I mean, not all the people that, when they see the American flag, get a warm, fuzzy feeling. And so there are a lot out there that probably despise the American flag. And so again, it has to do with the association between the symbol and the feeling and how the individual internalizes that symbol and what it means for you. And one of the things in Kriya Yoga is that we use a thing called a prayer flag, which I think is maybe a little bit different than a flag that would be used to represent a nation. Because here you're trying to do a very similar thing. You want something that's visible and tangible to identify with something that's invisible and intangible. That you want something as a reminder that, you know, you are in the presence of something that is pure, powerful, and sacred. And so the prayer flag becomes, I think, an important tool. But one of the biggest problems with flags or any symbol is the whole thing of mistaking the symbol for the intended image. So in other words, like in the beginning, you have a flag to identify with this void or this nothing. But it is really problematic when you identify with the flag and not the void. So that's an important distinction that you really want to be able to understand and create as you start to use something visible and tangible to identify with something that's invisible and intangible.
Since you mentioned the prayer flags, I have a question for it, but I want to talk about prayer flags before I ask you the question. Some people may not understand what a prayer flag is, so I did some research, and here's some information that I garnered from a couple of different places, mostly on Wikipedia. But in case our listeners don't know, a prayer flag is a colorful rectangular cloth, and it's often found in the mountains of the Himalayas, and usually they're strung along ridges and peaks. But they're used to bless the surrounding countrysides, and it does say it has other purposes as well, but traditionally, prayer flags are used to promote peace, compassion, strength, wisdom. And the flags do not carry prayers to the gods, which is a common misconception. Rather, the Tibetans believe that prayers and mantras will be blown by the wind to spread the goodwill and compassion into all pervading space. Therefore, prayer flags are thought to bring benefits to all. Now, here's one of my questions is that we talk about the power of intention. So, you know, when I have a thought, I have this power of intention, I can put that out into the universe. And my question is, can you put an intention into something physical and have the same kind of return? Just like we talked about here about the Tibetans, they would actually write the prayers on the flags and then hang them up a certain way, and like I said, it's blown by the wind. Can intention work the same way?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it can probably work with all of our senses. Say, for example, like mantra, you know, the repetition of sound leads to the absorption of that vibration. And so the flag is more of a visual. And the term is called yantra. In Kriya Yoga, that so the actual sight of a particular symbol should have, just like what you said, this intention to bring us to a certain level of awareness of either a condition or a attribute or something along those, along that line. And hopefully it is more of a desired state than a negative state.
So a symbol can basically just be like a reminder, kind of like even wearing a wedding band. It can remind you of your vows, or hanging a certain plaque on your wall that has a saying on it and you read it every day. Or, I mean, I guess we're really good in America with applying symbols to a lot of things. Like I said, taking the wedding band, for example. So that reminds us of these vows that we've taken, and then you would think that throughout your day that you exercise those vows. So that can be said probably for the prayer flags as well, maybe that you can look up and you see, Tibetans can look up and see these prayer flags, and again, it's a reminder of what they mean.
Yeah, and I think the more that you understand it, the more you'll start to see how important it is of not so much the actual image or flag, but what it reminds us of. And that's what I had said earlier, because the Tibetans have a wonderful saying that you need the finger to point to the moon, but it is woe unto them who mistaken the finger for the moon. For they shall never understand the bright light of the moon, nor what a finger is. So it produces what in Kriya Yoga we call avidya, ignorance. And having some sort of visible, tangible, or invisible and tangible symbol to help link us to something that's invisible and intangible is the desired intention of a prayer flag. And then of course, once you have that in place, then, you know, just like the wedding ring, you have to be really careful that you don't let things become corroded. So that after X amount of years, the freshness of the vow and all of the things that the marriage started out to represent for you have kind of become tainted, and maybe some of your expectations were not met, and your dreams have kind of deteriorated. And so a big part of the practice of Kriya Yoga is constantly refreshing the intention behind a symbol that you would use, so that things don't become stale.
So how does one go about doing that? And maybe you would, if I answer for you, might say use your creativity, use your imagination.
Oh, absolutely. Turn to your creativity. Turn to the void, endless possibilities, and change thoughts. Change how you think about things. Constantly trying to keep your images positive and uplifting and moving in a direction that would be optimal, as opposed to letting things become stagnant and toxic. just like you said, use your creativity, use your imagination, use your mind.
All right, well, I think we're going to pause right at that point to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll return in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamida Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Kriya Yoga Theory 1 live classes and videos. Get your arms around the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga.
You know, the intention of why we practice is to embody spirit, you know, to feel connected to the life force.
Kriya Yoga Asana live classes and videos. A cosmically engineered system of exercises to initiate apotheosis. A system of exercises engineered for dining and dancing at the cosmic ballroom. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 live classes and videos. A practice in open form designed to facilitate positive growth of consciousness. Get your labyrinth video.
I find the positive side of this is totally
Kriya Yoga mantra and meditation. With repetition comes absorption. Prayan prana and become divine.
At the same time, we all have a unique talent and gift to give back to the universe.
Private session. The mysteries of the universe have always been handed down verbally from teacher to student. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Purna Maria, Purna Meva Vashishate.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So at this time, I'd like to open up the phone lines to see if any of our listeners may have a question or a comment for Swami. So if you do have a comment or a question, you can ask or say that anytime. So Swami, in the meantime, I have another scenario to run by you. And so we're talking about the prayer flags and about how the Tibetans, they will paint the prayers on the flags and they hang them, and then the wind will carry the message through the universe. Now, so say if I wanted to write something on a prayer flag, I would sit down at my desk and I would come up with my prayer or my intention, whatever that might be, and I would put it on the flag. So as I'm doing this, obviously I'm using my mind, I'm thinking and I'm putting that thought and I'm putting that thought into the flag, but at the same time, obviously as I'm thinking it, it's going out into the universe anyway. But would it be considered a part of the whole process just by sitting down and actually doing this exercise? You're actually sending that intention out there even before the flag gets hung, because that's just a motion that you're doing. This is just an exercise where you're actually putting it on paper or you're putting it on a flag, and then the process has already been done. You've already done the thought, you know, because you had to put it on the flag. You know, you've already done that exercise, and then the whole part of actually making a ceremony of it, of hanging it, you know, outside in a certain way. So you've actually already done the exercise, and the flag is just kind of like an incidental part of the process.
Well, I think the flag becomes an important part of the process, because one of the things that we say is, you know, with repetition comes absorption. So once you have manifested something that is visible and tangible, you've put it into form. And that gives you the opportunity to refer back to it. So it's very different than just a thought that has just kind of been emitted and just kind of dissipates into the collective consciousness. So the building of something that is retrievable, that you can go back to. Because what it will do is it will bring you back to that thought, that intention. Mm. And to do that repetitively strengthens whatever it is that you're trying to put out, as opposed to as if it was just like a one-off. Mm. Like I was thinking that it would be really great if we had world peace. You know, that's something as monumental and as big as that really requires repetition. And of course, it's going to require popularity as well. You know, I mean, it's the whole thing of thoughts are energy capable of producing effects, but they're also measurable. The thoughts are measured in phase and amplitude. And thoughts that are in phase, which are like-minded thoughts, exponentially increase the amplitude of a thought. So it has a much bigger impact on the collective as opposed to just emitting a thought. But I think by manifesting something, putting something into form, writing down the thought, writing down your intention, gives it that much more strength than if it's just a fleeting thought.
I was thinking before you were explaining that by exactly what you just said, you know, by writing it down, it makes it real. Like I say, if you can read it, it's real, you know. But the point I want to make is that if we you know, write this down, we have this thought, we write it on this prayer flag, and it's a symbol, and it reminds us every day, then isn't that helping us find the light in the soul? Because we always say we have to start one person at a time, right? So you get the light in your own soul, and then therefore there's peace in the earth. So if I have something out there that reminds me of the values or the behaviors that I want to be to be have light in the soul, then once it happens to me, then it can happen to the next person and the next person and the next person, and then before you know it, we have that. So I was wondering how you thought about that and if you would remind us about the light in the soul.
Yeah. Well, I think the whole thing here is that you've got to have the right symbol producing the right feeling. And it's probably one of the reasons why the world is in such turmoil is because I really don't think we understand a real simple statement like the light in the soul. Like, what does it look like when I have the light in my soul? What does it look like when I'm putting God first? What does it look like when I'm desiring this void or this nothing? And again, if we just had a little bit better leadership and people understood the simplicity of it, that's why one of the things I always say is breath becomes your ultimate prayer flag. You know, that even though breath is invisible, it's tangible. It's your number two life-sustaining force. Because to get the light in the soul, you have to recognize that there's only one truth. There's only one God. There's only one number one need. And everything else was what they called a sin. It missed the mark. And when you get this light in your soul, then you're connected to something internally that's pure, powerful, and sacred. And so the whole concept of beauty in the person, you know, like you feel connected to something pure, powerful, and sacred. And that beauty in the person creates this progressive cycle so that you're actually giving out to the external world. And so it produces what they call harmony in the home. And that harmony in the home, if we could collectively start to expand that, would produce honor in the nation. which would eventually spill out into peace in the world. And it all comes down to, do we have the right symbol producing the right feeling? Because there's an old saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Well, you're talking about putting a feeling to a symbol, and that reminded me about putting attachments to things. So, you know, like we know through our yoga practice that we have to have also this sense of detachment as well. So how do we make that distinction between detaching ourselves from certain things and then attaching other things, you know, like you're saying, that feeling to a symbol?
Yeah, I think the language can be somewhat confusing, you know, because a lot of people use the word detachment kind of like as a blanket statement, you know, just detach. Well, in reality, you have to realize that we're all codependent. We all have needs. So if you have a physical body, your body has needs. And the whole thing of getting the light in the soul is really means that you doesn't mean that you don't that you just detach from things visible and tangible. It's like you said, to get the light in the soul means that you're attaching to a different source of sustenance, to a different dimension of reality, to something that's invisible and intangible, as opposed to something visible and tangible. And that's basically what all the books are suggesting that we do to get this light in the soul. You know, whether it's love God, you know, with your heart, your soul, and your mind, or desire nothing, it's two ways of saying the exact same thing, but you have to be attached to something. And whatever it is that you're attached to is going to determine your nature. So if you're attached to things visible and tangible, you'll be of a low animal nature. If you are attached to things invisible but tangible, you'll be of an equally low human nature. But if you are attached to this invisible, intangible source of sustenance, then you will be of what they call the divine nature. Mm-hmm. And when we are of a divine nature, humans in this state of connectedness are virtuous by nature. Not something you're trying to do. So you're not trying to perform conduct anymore. It's what you do naturally.
So before I close the program, if somebody wants to write a prayer flag, you know, in their own way today, how do you suggest they should do that?
Well, I think they should use their creativity, their imagination, that they should make it as big as you possibly can, but also recognize what it is that you want it to represent. You want it to represent this aspect of reality that is indescribable. You know, I mean, that's why there's this thing called faith in the religious communities.
Great. Well, it's that time we have to close on our program. So I invite you listeners to visit the website, follow Swami on Pinterest and Twitter, and of course on Facebook. Be sure to visit our website. Once there, you can post comments about this show or even ideas you may have for future shows for us to consider. And be sure to tune in next week. We will be celebrating, I believe, Father's Day along with the summer solstice, I believe, is next week. So in the meantime, email me at lisa@ipdtransform.com with any questions you'd like Swami to consider. So any final thoughts, Swami, before I close down?
No, I just wish everybody good luck with hanging their flags and enjoy Flag Day. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.